This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Fan, appreciate you hanging out. Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show, and one of the guys that started 105.7 FM The Fan way back when it was Milwaukee's sports talk leader on 1250 AM WSSP. You can still find us on the AM, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, and the radio.com app. Download it today. Follow us anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Lynn Dickey, former Packers quarterback and Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, for joining us here for a couple of minutes just before. You can listen to that interview, 1057fmthefan.com, when it comes up in a matter of about an hour or so, in a matter of about an hour and a half or so. It'll be the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show once the Brewers and Twins wrap up for Miller Park. It's 5-2 Twins crew in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Man on third, Mike Moustakas, one out double. Could be stranded because Lorenzo Cain is struggling to get base hits.
Like that, now
that's the
two
easiest
outs.
Way to say it.
Yeah.
Struggling to get base hits and not hit the ball on the ground right at people. That's been a major issue the last
We talked in the first hour of this show about Josh Hader and what role you want to see him in and what you were getting on the postgame show last night, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, people calling in, comparing him to Turnbow and some of these other flash in the pan relievers that the Brewers have had in last 20 years or so. What about Lorenzo Cain? I mean, here's a dude, and he got out, by the way, so not Eric Thames. Here's a dude in Lorenzo Cain that when they gave him that five-year deal, there was some question marks because of his age, whether or not giving him that fifth year was really a smart move. And Lorenzo Cain pretty much said that the reason he signed was once they added that fifth year, you know, his chance to come back to the organization
right.
that took him was too good to pass up. And that fifth year got him over the hump. Last year, great. This year, not so much. Tim and I were talking in a break earlier during the game about whether or not, you know, a little bit more concerned about Lorenzo Cain in this contract based on how he's played this year. He seems to think he's dinged up and they're just not saying anything. Are you concerned about Lorenzo Cain in this being a five-year deal?
Not as much, no. And I tend to lean on that. I also tend to lean on the fact that baseball is built on up and down and regression, and Lorenzo Cain had such a huge year getting on base. The on base being 85 points lower than it was basically last year is the staggering number. Like, your average can float, you know this.
Yep.
Your batting average can float 20 points left and right. To not be getting on base at that point to the clip that he was last year and consistently making it known that you have to be at the top of the lineup, that's what I think you'll see a difference of in Cain next year. But it's hard for me to say that it's just been a straight-up bad year for Lorenzo Cain, because the guy's going to win his first gold glove in his career, and rightfully so. He's been probably one of the best defenders in all of baseball across the league, despite position.
That doesn't mean anything. He's hitting .248 with a .315 on base. He's not winning a gold glove hitting .248, folks.
No,
J.J. Hardy said it back when he was a Brewer, that clearly this isn't about defense, that because he also had unbelievably great years defensively, should have had one or two with the Brewers, and never did because his offense was never good enough. And he verbally said it, that they shouldn't call this a gold glove about defense, because if your offensive numbers aren't there, you're not winning the gold glove. And that's how it's been for as long as I can remember. And unless something changes with these numbers, I'm telling you, I think we'll ask Mark Simon. We got him in a half hour from Sports Info Solutions. He's as big of a Lorenzo Cain fan as anybody. We'll ask him if he thinks these offensive numbers are going to hurt Lorenzo Cain's chances of winning a gold glove. I think they will. I'm not arguing about defense, Billy. I agree. But I just, history says in this sport with gold gloves, you have to hit. And if you don't hit, you don't win the gold glove.
But I am concerned about the
contract.
You're concerned about the length of the contract for Lorenzo Cain?
No doubt about it. I mean, it was a great signing, but and I think the only reason why you got him because you gave him 5 years. I think that's why he signed on here. I think everybody else is looking at it for 4 years, and the 5 year deal got it. Just don't think he's going to be healthy that long. He just seems to break down a little bit, and you know, he's kind of got that old man kind of swag body kind of look, you know, to him. Year number four, I think, is going to be tough for him.
Yeah, see, I understand, like, you are going to deal with a bit of regression, but you're looking at a 35, 36-year-old player that everybody says age has caught up to, and he's hitting 275 in Ryan Braun and having a solid year. Yeah. Not the year that you would expect from when he signed the 10-year deal, but this is what you get when 35-year-old players are, that you can still be very productive, just not who you were in the prime of your career.
Well, what did they pay him to be?
They paid him to be a leader of the team.
Did they pay Kane all that money to be a leader and not to produce offensively? I mean, I think they paid him to produce defensively, and they paid him. Now, again, offensive expectation over 5 years, what was David Stearns thinking he was going to get by years four and five? Only David Stearns knows that, and the Brewers front office. I'm sure they had these conversations before they pursued Lorenzo Cain in free agency. Okay, let's project ahead. When he gets to this age, what do all of our numbers and stats say, Gary, about baseball players at this age and the regression that happens? Exactly. You know they studied all that stuff, and you know they studied his injury history and everything that goes along with it, and then, you know, roll the dice that they're going to be right on what they project Lorenzo Cain to be at that point. Because you're right, Billy. I mean, he's a great leader. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a great leader. He's a very important person in that clubhouse.
No doubt.
As is Mike Moustakas at this point. And that's why it's great having both of those guys in that clubhouse. And we'll see how much longer Moustakas is here past this year. But that's a lot of money for a guy that you're going to be looking at just to be a leader possibly in year four or year five in this market. Like we always say, in bigger markets, you can miss a couple of years. No big deal. You have so much money, you can make up for it in other areas. This market, a little bit more difficult to make up for it. When you miss at that rate. I was reading a piece earlier today. Where was it? CBS Sports, I think. And it's the top five players that are playing really well. They're going to get ready to be a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fifth guy was Will Smith, former Brewers reliever.
Yes. Okay.
The fourth guy was Gerrit Cole, who, longtime Pittsburgh Pirate player, right? Now having a great year with the Houston Astros. And in that piece, it says, the days of these pitchers getting gigantic contracts are probably coming to an end because you can't have that player blow out a shoulder or an elbow or something like that in year two or year three of a huge deal and then not be the same guy after that or missing two full seasons. That is on a grand landscape. That's Houston, Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs. Those are big markets. So when you talk about Lorenzo Cain in this market size, it's very similar. Whether it's a pitcher or a hitter, you can't afford to have those type of down years when you're on a bigger deal. And Hader, we talked about in the first hour, he's not on any type of money. I mean, he's got no money really attached to him. So if he does blow up, it's not end of the world stuff. It is for that season if he blows up. And see, again, to me, talk about Hader, Billy. Did you hear what I heard? That they were interested in doing something with Hader, and Hader wanted to play this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mark my words. He could very well come to regret that and cost himself a bunch of money.
Yeah, he could.
Well, absolutely he could.
You always take the money.
Because there's guaranteed money.
You bet on yourself, but you always take the money.
Louis on the north side of Milwaukee felt compelled to pick up a phone and dial 414-799-1250. Louis on the Big Show. Hey, Louis.
Fellas, what's going on?
You.
What's up, Lou?
Sparky, I'm kind of disappointed in you because this is a trend I've been seeing in Milwaukee. I've been watching the Brewers base 45 years. And I like I told the screener, I can go Greg Vaughn, Franklin Stubbs, Ricky Weeks. Now Lorenzo Cain. It's always blame the brother when the Brewers go downhill. Damn the money we gave Ryan Braun when he was shooting upstairs.
You're right. I've never, ever criticized Ryan Braun on the station. You're right.
I didn't say you never did. I'm just saying.
That's all I do.
I'm just saying the blame is going to be placed on Cain. Just like when the blame was placed on Ricky Weeks, even though it was Supon giving up the home runs. You know what I'm saying?
Supon got killed on this station.
Hold on, but not more than Ricky Weeks.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Ricky Weeks had a first name that started with an F.
Gary, what do you think?
So, yeah. I'm telling you what's going on, what we see in our community.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying Gary was here for that whole time with Supon and Ricky Weeks and all that. I just want to know what Gary's opinion is.
So what do you think that Lorenzo Cain, you think he'll be good by year four? Lorenzo, you think he'll be worth the money?
Yeah, Lorenzo Cain is the best defensive center fielder in the game.
Yeah, we're not questioning that.
You build a baseball team by being strong up the middle.
Sure, we're
not. Center, shortstop, and center field.
We're not questioning.
So you have the best center fielder in the game.
We're not questioning that.
He's having an off year. And right
yes.
away, the blame goes to Cain. And right away, you guys are already projecting him to be a failure.
Well, because of age.
Right now, we're blaming Hader right now.
That was the first hour was Hader.
Yes.
But you just spent the last 10 minutes projecting what he was going to do.
Well, in four years, how will he be in 4 years, Bill?
He'll be 35 years old.
He'll be 35? Yeah, at some point, he's going to decline, right?
He's still going to be the best center fielder in the game.
Well, let's
if he
see.
Is, the money's
well,
worth it.
Let's see. We hope that he is. I hope you're still listening in four years, and we can take this up in 4 years.
Gary, do you think, have all your years of watching baseball, I don't care how old you get, you don't forget how to catch the baseball.
But you're late,
no, we're talking about producing. We're talking about his bat, and we're talking about injuries.
But we're talking about injuries. But it's two sides to the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's an offense and there's a defense.
Yep.
And if he's saving one or two runs a game, that's his job.
Yeah, but if he's saving one or two runs a
Couldn't
game and hitting,
more,
two, but hitting 200, he's not going to play.
Well, I appreciate the call, Louis. Yeah. And when you look at Lorenzo Cain, he's still top three in the league across baseball, defensive wins above replacement, almost two full wins above replacement there. But you're looking at it when you combine the offensive numbers. He's stacked in there with guys that are having hugely down years, and Charlie Blackmon. And so we're complaining about this money for Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper, a 1.7 wins above replacement, 1.8 for Lorenzo Cain.
You knew when they gave him that money, he wasn't going to be able to live up to that contract.
They're going to hate him in Philly. Hate. He may be the most hated athlete by the time that contract's done. That's a 10-year deal, right?
13.
Yeah. 13-year deal. He will be the most hated athlete in Philly by the time that contract's done.
There's no way you can live up to that kind of money.
No chance.
No way.
A bright sunshine and rainbows, Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, 414-799-1250 is how you can get a hold of us. You can also be checking out the Brewer game on YouTube. YouTube.com/MLB after the game, after the last pitch.
Sunshine and rainbows.
You make the switch right back here to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Myself and Tim Allen talk Brewers with you up until 6 o'clock here on 105.7 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. We'll look at some of those advanced numbers on Lorenzo Cain and project out with Mark Simon at 3:48 of Sports Info Solutions. We're back well before that. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Still 5-3 Twins in the sixth inning now. Brewers and Twins out at Miller Park. Ray Black with his first appearance as a Milwaukee Brewer. I just go swimmingly. Gives up a triple, but hey, it's all good. No runs passed, so that works out.
Yeah,
that's
good.
How I go, Gary.
You're
as long as you
good.
Keep the you keep
good.
Guys from stepping the big round plate at home, that's all that matters. Just
good.
Do all you want on the outside. That works out. And on the outside, sitting outside on a patio, that's the best place to drink in a Boff. That's what I'm telling you guys. Bofording Beer encouraging you to drink in the Boff this summer. 100% natural is Bofording Beer, and it's made with three all-natural ingredients. Fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That's it. No additives, no artificial flavors, just beer made with a commitment to quality. You'll notice the difference superior ingredients make immediately when you're enjoying the crisp pilsner, the smooth triple ale, or the balanced brune perfectly at 7.2. And thanks to Bofording's 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality, all of its brews give you the full flavor with a crisp, clean finish. You can drink in the Boff at places like Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, or Nomad, or Sport Club this year. Also, if you'd rather drink in the Boff, like I just said, in the comfort of your own home, sitting out on the back deck, maybe a cigar blowing, the game on the radio, or the Bayview Shane Line postgame show on the radio, after the Brewers start winning some games, the best way to do that is grabbing a six-pack of Total Wine and More consumer beverage or any Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly locations today. And if you're drinking in the Boff this week, let me know. Send me a picture at Bill Schmidt Radio. Use the hashtag Bofording Bill and go all natural. Drink in the Boff with me this summer. Bofording, Milwaukee's all natural choice for the summer.
I got a question for you.
I'd like to hear it.
Because you seem like you've been mad a lot in the last few months.
Been what?
He seems mad. Like he's been mad, uptight. Every time we talk Brewers, he gets mad at us.
Yeah,
we're negative, all that stuff. Right, he gets angry at us. Or if we talk about Aaron Rodgers, I think he's a little perturbed about that. So he just seems angry a lot. We did this to every guy that sat in that chair, let's be honest. So my question is this, because you're talking about drinking in the boff and all that. Okay, well. If I said to you, Billy, tell me when you are the happiest, right? So if I, you could pick to go anywhere you want. Oh, you could be anywhere.
Slam dunk.
Do whatever you want to do. No matter what else is going around me, Billy's going to have a smile on his face. Could be sitting at a slot in Vegas, having a drink, whatever. What would it be? When Billy is the happiest, he is where doing what?
That's tough to say because there's two different levels of vacation Bill that I like to call them.
Vacation Bill
is there's one that you're right. It's a slot machine in Vegas.
It is a slot
machine. I just finished up at roulette. I've got my Yeti, which is the key is when you order the double drink in Vegas, you just keep the Yeti where somebody doesn't know, and then you pour that in there and it keeps it colder longer. So you can stroll up and down the street and have multiple drinks at one time. Right? That's the way to cheat the system.
Smart, never heard of that. That's
the other side of it, there's something about tailgating before a football or a baseball game that just there's something so romantic about it. And I cannot wait to have a cold one in the hand, a perfectly balanced Bruin at 7.2. Yes. In the hand, getting ready, and you're going to call me Schmaltzy here.
Schmaltzy.
For some Carroll Pioneer football.
Oh, see?
So now, when you,
I can't wait.
Now, that's good, and I love it for. I love you for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have another question. So when you tailgate, are you a guy that sits in the chair and drinks and eats and relaxes and got the radio playing or some music going? And you're bumping some tunes, or you're listening to sports talk.
Yep.
Or are you the guy that can't do that and has to be playing some type of game, bags, playing catch with a football? Got to be doing something. Just can't sit tight and.
I move it all around because sometimes I'll man the grill. I'll take a couple of rolls at that. I'll take a couple of spins if there's bags. I'm only going to be playing that usually if there's money on the line.
Right.
Other than that, I'm chilling, hanging out, watching the people.
Okay.
Drinking in the boff and just enjoying life.
Makes sense.
I'm a big people watcher. I like observing human beings.
I would to answer Steve's question, I would almost second that.
Which
I cannot wait for the Badgers Wolverine games, Michigan and Wisconsin.
Can't believe how excited I am.
I am full of myself, can't wait, because I know what that's going to be like. So I believe.
Get your Jack Cohn jersey on. Be all set.
No Jack Cohn. I have my Gary Ellison jersey, by the way. But
will you rock a 42 ever at a Badger game? Your
it'll
own
be 41. I'm 41.
41 at Wisconsin. Yeah, my fault.
And I got up. You know, I moved up and I got 42. But that weekend is going to be a full weekend for me, I believe, because I think the Packers play on Sunday. So I'm going to hit the Badgers probably Friday night.
Mm.
Leave here. Drive to Madison. Saturday morning, right? And I don't know what time that game is. If it's a late game,
11 a.m.
You think it's a late game?
I believe they're kicking it off at 11 a.m. Because
that's a late game start already.
Because Fox Sports is doing something new where they're trying to fire off their best game at 11 and beat the four-letter network for sending it off like that for waiting until the night game. They're changing the whole dynamic of it.
So that's an 11 o'clock start.
Mm-hmm.
But that actually, that'll be good for me.
And the Packers have a noon start the next day in Lambeau against
nice
Denver.
That's actually good.
That is good.
Because then I can leave the game, the Badger game, and then get to Green Bay and have enough time to sleep.
Well, yeah, I mean, the game goes till 2 o'clock.
Right.
You still got plenty of time to get to
Green Bay. That's a beer in the frosted mini wheats for the students, though, right? Those 11 a.m. games?
What? What?
Well, it's better than a night game. Night game, like
no,
you say, there's nobody still
that's
standing.
Because that 11 a.m. game, that's why you got to be in Madison Friday night.
Yeah, you got to go with a purpose.
It's a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't even going to sleep, cuz.
No chance.
It's going to be like a zombie walk at 11 o'clock.
So when you see the guys falling over, laying on
the
front yards of the frat houses, that could have been from last night.
That's
that could have been from 8 a.m.
8 a.m. That's just continuation.
And they're coming off a bye week. They don't play the week prior.
Oh, they don't?
Nope. They play Central Michigan 2 weeks prior to that at Camp Randall. At Camp Randall.
No, Central Michigan.
Michigan's at Camp Randall.
Is that Camp Randall?
On the 7th, a 2:30 start.
Are they playing South Florida? Where they go?
In South Florida.
That's in Tampa.
South Florida. That's August 30th.
They run 5 straight home games, Gary. Have you ever seen that before?
That's going to be awesome.
5 straight home games.
Who they got behind Michigan?
Northwestern.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Kent State. Michigan State.
They threw a little soft one at Kent State.
Then Michigan State.
And Michigan State homecoming on the 12th.
And then the Badgers go to the road.
Can't wait.
Oh, that is going to be fun.
That Michigan game, though, dude. What? I'm so in my happy place.
That's going to be outstanding, man. And you know what? If the Pios weren't battling for the musket that we haven't won in like 2.5 decades, I'd be there with you.
Are you guys battling for the musket?
Carthage College that day.
Who are you playing?
Carthage College. Carroll against Carthage.
K-Town.
Kenosha against Waukesha. Down in K-Town. Oh, so we're going to have to go to, I believe it's Art Keller Field.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's the name of
the
spot.
They got the field turf, too, there, too, don't they?
They got a nice spot. Yeah, they got a real nice spot.
I remember that spot.
It would be really, really nice to celebrate down there and grab that musket. And I'll just,
it's the musket.
Just run down on
now,
the field.
Do you guys shoot off the musket, or?
We don't, actually. I asked the last time I played for it. I was like, so do I got to load a couple of BBs in here before the game to make sure that we're ready to rock? Yeah. And they're like, dude, come on, man. It's inside of daylight. You can't be doing that. So yeah, apparently we can't fire it off. But you can act like it.
Have you guys ever stole the musket?
No, you got to win the game to be able to do that. But
I mean, like 2019, like, into the case where it's at the night before. Some students.
They don't know how to get to Kenosha.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, some students the night before, they keep it somewhere. You go in and get it.
Yeah, I know exactly where they keep it. Huh.
Right? You go get. Now, does the musket have scores engraved on the handle or anything like
all
that?
All on the base. All on the base. They put plaques up with the scores each year.
Now, how many times did you win the musket?
I never won the musket.
Oh, Jesus.
I won the Pio Buck, and that was between Carroll and Beloit College.
The who?
The Pio Buck Trophy. Pioneers and the Buccaneers.
I'm glad you straightened it up, because that sounded a little racist at first. Glad you straightened that out.
I straightened it up, and Mark Simon will straighten us out. Who's the best center fielder defensively in the game? We got a couple of folks saying it's Lorenzo Cain. Are we right? Mark Simon joins us in 10 minutes. It's a 5-3 ball game. Anthony Mandela has the latest in a sports flash, and we're back on The Fan. Show on The Fan. Now that's the Vanilla Ice version.
I'm trying to figure out who's your coach over there, Biff.
Yeah, Coach LeBiff was my coach was for 3 years, and then Jeff Wallach was my head coach my senior year at Whitnall High School. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. That's Gary Ellerson. We had some issues stopping the run, which was one of the big
issues.
It was a major issue. We liked to run this.
Did you play both ways at all?
Odd stack. Yeah, except my junior year when I was center.
You broke everything.
They were always I did. Yeah, I would. Whenever you let me play defense, man, I just had the biggest grin on my face. I almost just cursed there on the air. I was so excited because that's just see ball, go get ball.
Yeah,
that's just going just be mean. That's way more fun.
Right.
Playing offensive line, yeah, it's fun, but, I mean, let's be honest. You just got to shovel the stuff most of the time.
Dev's not playing both ways? He should be.
He's talking about our 14-year-old at home, who's a freshman.
Yeah, he's got the Oak Creek Knights shirt on here, rocking the stuff. Yeah, I like it.
Yep. 14-year-old, yeah, so he's playing on the freshman team. So
he's not playing both ways?
I don't think so. They've got enough kids. I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
As of right now. Now, who knows? With injuries and people quitting, I don't know how this will all play out. But as of right now, he's just on the offensive line.
I mean, player of the year, State of Georgia. I only assume you played every single snap of every single down.
Yeah, we had him in kids, though.
Do you like the idea, though, where they're trying to keep these dudes on one side of the ball, even in high school?
I don't know, man. I think you got to play your best players.
Yeah, but everybody's freaking out about concussions and so forth. They're not trying to run guys out there the whole game.
It's a different story, yeah.
There's just no way.
Even when my son was at Kellett Memorial, those guys went both ways. But Jarrett's
Bill Young's putting his best dudes out there every single night. Kidding me?
You best believe it. He is.
We would always wander down there when Catholic Memorial's playing over at the Carroll football field on Friday nights.
Right there, yeah.
And they play on the same turf.
Yep.
Those dudes coming off the field, their setup after drives was like ours in college. And I'm watching, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense why they win 9-10 games a year.
Right.
It makes sense why they win 9-10 games a year.
The whole setup is like a college setup, dude.
Yes, no doubt. Left and right.
Straight
and Muskego is not far behind.
Oh,
read the big feature they had in the paper? Was that 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
About them just, it's a sports factory over there.
Yeah, and it was ready to burst. I mean, because
Sleeping Giant is what it is.
Because in every sport, Billy, over the last 10, 15 years, they just kind of been right there. Just right there. Just sure. right there. And you were just waiting just when it was just going to burst at the seams. And then now it has.
Hey, you ever, Baby Tosh, you ever think about what it would have been like playing in, like, say, a Catholic Memorial program when you were in high school versus where you played?
Plenty of different times. A lot of it was, I mean, the what you had in front of you for some of it. But also some of it was, like, the day in and day out practice grind is different. Like I said, I mean, they were running college practices when I walked over there a couple of times.
Really?
Straight college practices for, like, freshmen in high school.
You should see Muskego's practice right now. It's off.
I would like to go over there and see what they do.
It is unbelievable.
So Brock, JV this year?
Yeah, JV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corner?
Yeah.
Cover two guy? Is he going to jam and press, what are we talking about?
Straight man, cuz. Straight man.
You're of course on the island they are. By yourself. Of course they are. That's what you do when you got the dudes.
Yeah, they blitz all the time.
They
run them games all the time. You straight man out there by one high safety. That's it. Everybody else on the line is scrimmage.
So they're just walking up mano a mano. I got five guys covering.
Yep.
You one all just high, go over there and grab that football.
One high safety. That's it.
Man, that is something else. That is fun to watch. High school football, what, 2 weeks away before they start games?
I think about 2 weeks ago. Where? Maybe. Is it next week? I don't know.
It's the 23rd.
Is it? Is that 2 weeks away or is that
23rd,
next week?
Yeah. So it's a week from this Friday.
Mm. Oh, man. Mike McGivern, big time going to be on the scoreboard show.
Right?
I'm going to stop in here one of those nights, too, when Mike does the show. I had a lot of fun filling in last year when Ron Davies was out.
Did you?
Hanging in with Mike. I mean, I know you did that show for quite some time. And
I never did that show other than I would be out at football games for Fox 6 doing sideline reporting. So I would call in with reports. And then if we didn't have a reporter at that game, I'd get the head coach on after the game. But he started that show, Mike McGivern, with Joe Cook back in the day, who's now down in Texas coaching football.
Is he still down there?
Yeah, doing really, really well, too.
Is he a head coach down there or no?
No, offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Down there doing that. And his son is down there. They run a bunch of football camps and football schools and stuff down there.
I suppose he's not running Wishbone down there.
I don't know what he's running, to be honest with you. They were just up here, him and his kid and some other coaches running quarterback camps up here. They did one at Oak Creek, and I think they did one at Catholic Memorial as well.
Mm.
I don't know, like 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But since that show started.
Joe went to Catholic Memorial.
Correct, yeah. He was over there with Bill Young for a while.
He went to high school there, I believe.
Oh, right. And then he coached with Bill Young, too.
Yeah, so Bill Young was his coach. Isn't that crazy?
Joe Cook ran us out of the building one night.
Sophomore year.
Pius.
Pius, yeah.
Connor Sanger.
Yeah, quarterback.
He was the scout team player of the year his 1 year at Madison.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we just 560 yards. Yeah, now actually coaching up at Whitewater.
Is that where he's at now?
He was a quick stop for the Pioneers over at Carroll, and now he's up at UW-Whitewater.
Oh, he came over there?
As a graduate assistant,
really?
Yeah.
I think he broke his leg at Oshkosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tough situation.
Really, could throw.
Nasty.
Yeah, he was.
563 yards of total offense against us.
What?
Week one.
What?
Just him. You don't remember that game?
Oh, yeah, just him.
What?
You don't remember that game?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Just him?
Just him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like
what were you guys doing?
Like 3:30 during
watching.
The air.
What were you guys doing?
Standing there watching. I had broke my wrist like 2 days before. I was handing out water.
What was Biff saying?
Biff always had the keys, right?
He's spinning
the keys left to right. He goes, come on. I don't know how you get to stop this guy. Stop the same guy in Oregon 25 times last night. NCAA 12. I was running that last night. Probably was scarfing down on some Robert specialty meats while he was doing it.
Hey, man. Yeah, cocktail on the other hand. Hey, we're honored to have Robert specialty meats. It's our 13th annual WSSP charity golf outing coming up on September 25th. But you don't have to wait until then to experience what great tasting fresh meat from this old-time butcher shop is all about. Paul Roberts has lots of delicious options to make dinner time the best time of day. From hand-cut USDA steaks, prime beef tenderloin, gourmet burgers, and plenty more. And if you're planning a weekend family cookout or neighborhood block party, Robert's ribs on a stick are an easy choice. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce, or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers in barbecue, garlic parmesan, or Door County cherry flavors all ready to heat up and serve in just minutes. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT for the best selection, and reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. And also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons for the best in meats. Shop Robert Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, stops by next to defend Yasmani Grandal, yes, as he does every week. But where does Lorenzo Cain rank for defensive metrics this year? The war is off the charts, but how can it measure out? We'll ask him next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here, and the former Badger and Packer running back, Gary Ellerson, in the house. I got to ask him about those throwback unis that everybody was getting all over the Wisconsin Badgers for dropping yesterday. Like, I think they're actually pretty sweet.
Were people saying something bad about them?
I'll read you some of those comments later, but it's Mark Simon time from Sports Info Solutions.
Mark
joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Mark, defensive metrics, and simply the one that I look at is wins above replacement defensively, still rank Lorenzo Cain as, if not the top, the second best defensive center fielder in baseball. What do the numbers at Sports Info Solutions say?
Numbers at Sports Info Solutions like him a lot. We've had him at the top of center fields throughout the season. And in fact, in terms of the National League, he's got a reasonably healthy lead over Victor Robles, Ketel Marte, Harrison Bader, who he's struggled offensively and got sent to the minor leagues. There isn't a guy this year that I feel that necessarily competes with him. And I think that the combination of his sustained excellence over a whole season and the fact that I think there's this recognizability thing that he hasn't been recognized yet, and that he deserves to be recognized. I think it's going to give him a very good shot at a Gold Glove this year.
Mark, we've been trying to look inside the numbers on Hader, and he has some recent struggles, and we're thinking maybe, and then Billy looked at some numbers, but it just feels like he's pitching a lot more than he did last year, but those numbers really don't bear it out.
Yeah, well, I think it seems that way because the outings are a little bit more stressful. Like last year when he would come in, the game was over in 5 minutes. He was on the mound for like 5 minutes. It'd be funny, like, we don't keep this, but it'd be kind of cool if someone did. If you had like a time of possession for the offensive team when
like
he
that.
Was on the mound, like compared to last year, I would think that you're on with what you're saying. And he's going to pitch fewer innings this year. He's going to pitch more games, which means that he's going to have to have warmed up more. He's going to have to have pitched in a lot of high stress situations, and he's put himself in some high stress situations by allowing all these home runs. I'm not sure what they should do with him at this point. I know that they've been using him very carefully this month. I might give Albers a couple of shots at it just to give Hader a little break from it.
I want to talk about this offense because they were, 0 for 10, I think it was, last night with runners in scoring position and struggling yet again today with runners in scoring position. And kind of looking at the Brewers with runners in scoring position versus, say, the Cardinals and the Cubs, and then at the same time, OPS for the Brewers versus the Cardinals and the Cubs, because I think you can look at both of them and go, they're both very critical, but a lot of people focus on that OPS, which is great, but if you can't get the big hits in big situations, that stat isn't as important anymore.
Right, I think it's a combination of two. Because there are a lot of situations where you just want the single, right? Because
right.
you have the guy on second, and you're just trying to get him in to get the run home. What you're probably upset about is what was it? Was the Cubs or the Cardinals? Well, the Cardinals are 249, the Cubs are 256, and the Cubs have the nice OPS. So I guess you were a little upset about that. I don't know that I'd worry about it too much because a lot of it is Hernan Perez, and a lot of it is Travis Shaw. Your money guy is 372 with a 769 slugging with runners in scoring position. Yaz, who we get to talk about here, is 270 and 550. Kane's down, but Kane's down across the board on everything. Keston Hira is 244. You'd like probably that to be higher, but that's a small sample. Eric Thames is 266, 547, and you're happy with that. I think if you look at it on an individual basis and you look at the guys who are going to get the at-bats in September, I guess I conveniently left out Moustakas. He's struggling. That's the guy who you would want to be big with runners in scoring position in September. And the guy's played in a lot of big games in his career last year and the time with the Royals. It's not something that I would worry about. People like in the sabermetric world don't think that you can necessarily predict what's going to happen with runners in scoring position. That you could be lousy and all of a sudden you could turn it on pretty good.
Talking with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions here on the Wendy's Big Show. Mark, in your opinion, just looking at the Brewers' numbers here, starting pitching-wise, they're last in innings pitched, they're well close to last in ERA, all the main statistical numbers and strategies you're going to look for. And a grand scheme baseball question, when you look at how the game has moved, in your opinion, do you believe that some of these managers and some of these teams are basing their decisions too much off the splits third time through the order?
Good question. Probably in some cases that's happening because you're seeing guys get pulled after like 20 batters before they get to that number three hitter for the third time when they're cruising. I feel like I've seen that across the board in baseball this year, and you read about, oh, this guy had a great outing. He only went five innings. You can't say it was a great outing. He only went five. I think, though, with the Brewers, with what you have on that roster, unless it's Gio and Gio pitching really well, you almost have to just because there's not a lot there, especially with three guys on the disabled list. If you got all those guys healthy, I would say let them go a little bit longer. Push them in September. Push them in August and September. That's what they're kind of there for. And you probably worn out your bullpen already. So I think my long-winded answer of it is yes to an extent. The teams are definitely doing that. It's unfortunate.
Your guy Yasmani Grandal would have been the hero last night if it wasn't for the three-run shot given up by Josh Hader, but he gets his first homer in over a month time. Tell us why Yasmani Grandal is going to bust out of it here.
Because he's good. He's worth the money.
Good. It's I like that simple. Answer.
His track record is very good. I think this is the part of the season where I'd actually worry about him a little bit because if you look, and I know we did this when I worked at ESPN, that catcher offensive production significantly tails off in August and September with the number of games that they catch. So I would be a little fearful, and if the batting average comes down a little bit more, so be it. His defensive run saved, in terms of pitch framing, are still good. That's largely what he's there for. And he's given you what he was kind of supposed to give you already. And now you hope that he's got enough left in the tank. And you do have the thing that's nice is that you do have a good backup who you're not necessarily afraid to throw in there, even if he doesn't necessarily hit.
Mark Simon, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk next week, 3:48, same time, same channel, 105.7 FM The Fan.
You got it.
That's Mark Simon joining us from Sports Info Solutions here on the Wendy's Big Show. Have a conversation about Craig Counsell. Eric Burns from MLB Network joined us yesterday. And Gary Heath said that Craig Counsell is one of the smartest individuals he ever played with. But some Brewers fans believe that he might be holding this Brewers team back. We're going to have that conversation next. First here from Mike Clemens. Anthony Mandela's got the update from Miller Park. And we're back. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.